very busy. Many important matters require king's attention.
I'm king now. King, 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 king now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again when I am
your fingers or your king
doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
I am
stupid girls.
Your fingers or your tongue.
I am the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Jafria Podcast. My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at FittenTrim. That's FittenTrim at FittenTrim on Twitter. And with me, as always, the guy with the appetite of Robert Baratheon and the sex drive of Varys the Eunuch, it's Catfish. Catfish, how you doing?
Guilty as charged on both parts, Bubba.
Oh, no.
So the only thing I have left in my life that gives me any joy whatsoever is food, but then also this podcast. So I'm super excited to be on the Jafria Podcast.
And how can people find you on Twitter?
They can hit me up at CJGman67. Reach out and give me some good ideas for delicious food to eat.
Man, Catfish, we are recording this, and it is exactly 3 weeks away, just 3 weeks away, from Game of Thrones Season 7. Holy smokes.
It's hard to believe that it's still 3 weeks away, though. It feels like we have been doing these teasing podcasts for like 3 months now.
But, Catfish, maybe I'll mention this right at the top. Because we hadn't done a podcast, our last one at the end of Season 6, we did a post-season podcast on August of 2016. And then we just started doing them in our 7 podcast countdown to Season 7. Some podcatcher apps like Stitcher haven't updated. And so they thought, well, these people aren't doing a podcast anymore. And so we got this sad comment from a true double L.
Double L?
That's what I like to call a loyal listener.
Okay.
Nikki Powell, who wrote, "Oh, man, I've been watching my Double P Podcast Network feed and no updates for 30 days.
Or even longer.
I know. I was wondering what was going on, so I came here to check. Nikki had to resubscribe to Jafria Podcast just so it would get updated. Oh, that's terrible. We apologize for taking such a long break."
Ooh, it seems like first of his name, King Joffrey, needs to go out and do some unstraightening.
With Stitcher, yeah. And
yeah.
If you're not getting it, it seems to be working okay, I believe, here on the USA iTunes Store. But please, please, resubscribe if you need to.
And if you're not getting it, then sadly you won't get those instructions on how to resubscribe.
Right. So if you're unable to listen to this because Stitcher quit updating, first thing.
Update your podcast, and then you will be listening to this.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Catfish, one thing new we've decided to roll out for Season 7.
Tell me.
Is we're going to be giving away prizes to our double L's.
Double L's.
That's what I like to call loyal listeners.
Oh, right.
Every new episode of HBO's Game of Thrones, we're going to give away a prize to our loyal listeners. This is incredible.
Holy cow. And we have so many amazing prizes to give.
Oh, yeah.
We have done and we've talked about some amazing things we've done in the off season so we could resubscribe to our excitement for Game of Thrones. We went to go see the music of Game of Thrones with a famous composer,
Ramin Djawadi.
And we went to go see Thrones, the musical parody, which was great.
Oh, yeah.
And Bubba, I had my car cleaned this week professionally. And it turns out I also found a prize that we got for free from Thrones, the musical parody.
Oh, man.
So we have got, events,
yeah,
which we went to, we got some prizes that you can only get at these events, but we are going to be passing them on to you because we, Triple L, love our loyal listeners.
Our?
Yeah, that's the hour silent.
Oh, bro, here we go. Yeah, so our grand prize for Season 7 is we're giving an autographed copy of A Game of Thrones, the first book in George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire saga, autographed by George himself. We're giving that away to listeners. So listeners, you may be wondering, after hearing about all these great prizes, what do you need to do to be eligible to win them? Well, it's simple. We're sick of promoting these podcasts ourselves. So we want you to be Double P.
Double P?
Podcast promoters.
Oh, that makes sense.
So when we release a new episode of the Jafria Podcast, if you tweet out, "Hey, there's a new episode of hashtag Jafria Podcast," or if
even
you,
better, we will be tweeting out about that it's there along with a link to it. So that's even better to retweet
that. Yeah, you can just retweet.
It's simple. All you need to do is press a button.
That's it. We're also going to obviously post updates on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/doublepodcast. It's the word doubled, the single letter P, the word podcast plural, facebook.com/doublepeapodcast. So if you share that link on Facebook, you're eligible to enter that way.
Or if you like that page, because if you had liked that page, you wouldn't have been stuck out in the cold like Nikki Powell, because when we post things to that page, you'll get a little notification.
Woo-hoo.
Hey, the Double P Podcast Network has got something fun for you.
That's
something
right.
fun for your ears.
Yeah.
And hopefully for your funny bone.
We got some great new members of the Unstraightener team.
Oh, yeah. Week. We got John Grasick, and I said that completely wrong, at It's Me, John, G-I-I. But I like it because it's. I feel like it's pronounced It's Me, John G.
Oh, yeah. We also have Jesse Jordan and our good friend, Tori Hunter, who I believe is
Mandatory.
Love him. Love
yeah.
him.
Yeah. We like Jesse Jordan because he is Double J.
I don't get, what do you mean?
Jesse Jordan.
Oh, okay.
Or she.
All right, that's a good point.
Jesse's a good name for both ladies and gentlemen.
Catfish Today, on our fifth pregame podcast for Season 7, we have got what I like to call a double P.
Double P?
A packed podcast.
What are we doing, Bubba?
Well, our listeners love it when we break down the new Game of Thrones trailer, and they just released their second trailer. HBO released a second trailer for Season 7. So we are going to do our world famous, our stand bearer, frame by frame breakdown of the Game of Thrones Season 7 trailer 2 today on the podcast.
Quick question, Bubba.
Yeah.
What is HBO's idea behind putting out another one of these? They think someone either is on the fence about the show and they saw the first one and they're like, well, we gave them super tiny glimpses of a whole bunch of stuff, but maybe that didn't draw them in. Maybe we should give them more. I mean, at this point, it's almost just spoiling more for the people who want to watch
it. Oh, yeah, these trailers. I think these trailers have a lot of spoilers, Catfish, but there's one thing HBO loves doing, and that's what I like to call Double B.
Double B.
Building buzz.
They're also doing what I like to call Double P.
You mean brump brump? Okay. Wait,
or pump priming.
Whatever. So
pump priming is fine, too. Either way, I'm not quite sure that it's necessary.
No.
But here it is. And so it's our job to do it. Thanks a lot, HBO.
But Catfish, you just mentioned it. I apologize for interrupting you a bit there. These trailers, if you watch them closely, frame by frame like we do, there's a chance maybe you are getting spoiled because there are only 7 episodes this season. And speaking of spoiling.
Yes.
A year ago at this time.
Yes.
Actually, before this time, I'd gone on Reddit and I'd read this description of what turned out to be Battle of the Bastards. It told me everything that was going to happen in Battle of the Bastards. Because it's Reddit, I thought, ah, well, it could just be something somebody made up. That episode ended up airing and I was like, oh, wow, I knew almost everything that happened in this episode because of it. And so we went to Reddit and we found a scene which it could be a real spoiler because it seems too good to be true. A scene that really seems too good to be true. With Daenerys and Tyrion and some other surprising characters.
Right. Now, are you sure this came from Reddit? Because of all the characters listed, I don't see Pepe the Frog.
We're going to have to see. I haven't read the whole thing. So what we're going to do, listeners, is we're going to present to you
a potential spoiler scene.
A potential spoiler scene that I would be very hesitant to share. But it's so accurate that I thought there's no way.
It's amazingly written. That's what I thought. Amazingly written. You know, the other thing is last year when we did, there was only one trailer and we did the breakdown.
Yeah.
I think we pretty much, we kind of guessed how it was going to go down with the wildfire.
Right.
And I think we even guessed who was going to be the one activating the wildfire.
Right. I thought it'd be Joffrey because he's so hot.
He is. He is. Whereas I thought Joffrey's still going to hold off a little bit, let his enemies fight each other, let Syria and Russia fight each other, and then we'll just fight the scraps that are left.
Oh, boy. It's the best, most logical plan.
I'm telling Mother.
And so, Catfish, we're actually going to get to that Reddit scene first. So let's just dive in.
Oh, amazing.
And so we found this on Reddit. Have your spoiler ears listen. I wonder if this is going to be as accurate because it seems, once again, too good to be true. And so, just so you know, it seems to be set up. It's possibly going to be in the first episode because it finds Daenerys and Team Daenerys on their way to Westeros.
Oh, okay, great. Well, I'm excited to hear what happens with her. So we're just going to read it then.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, we'll take you there.
Let's do it.
Queen Daenerys, Tyrion of House Lannister is here to see you.
Well, thank you, Grey Worm. Show him in. Your Highness, I have a surprise for you. Oh, You know I hate surprises, especially from you. The last time you said you had a surprise for me, you showed me that little gray worm you keep in your pocket.
That wasn't a worm, Your Highness. And I apologize for my behavior. I'd been drinking.
Gray Worm agree. Gray Worm was not in his pocket.
You're always drinking, imp. That's the only decent excuse you have for your accent. But that's no excuse for showing me a pet that I can barely see from 2 feet away.
No, Your Highness. I didn't say it was a pet. I said I wanted you to pet it.
What? Are you telling me that you showed me what I like to call your Dothraki blood rider? Huh? More like a dud rider, am I right?
You are right.
Did you see what I did there?
Grey Worm saw.
Yes, Your Highness. Very hilarious.
Yes, well, if you ever show it to me again, evil Uncle Tyrion, I will knock that gold filling out of your tooth, melt it down, and give your dud rider the crown of gold treatment that my brother got. You understand?
Yes, Your Highness.
And I'll still have enough gold left over to buy you a dialect coach. Now, what's the surprise you have for me?
Well, Your Grace, Sir Jorah has returned to us.
Ah, Sir Friendzone here. Now, we're on a boat sailing to Westeros.
He got on board when we were stock supplies in Volantis.
That guy never gives up. Doesn't he know that if he was the last man on Earth, that I'd still rather be with Arya transformed as Walder Frey? Oh, well, where is he?
Over there, Your Highness.
Behind that huge rock.
Actually, Your Highness, the thing that does indeed look like a huge rock is actually Sir Jorah. It's the worst case of grayscale I've ever seen. He's always been hard when he's around me, but this is taking it to an extreme. I guess I can't call him Double B anymore.
Double B? Yes, that's a little thing I like to say when I describe Sir Jorah. Blue balls.
Well, Your Highness, you could still call him Double B.
Double B?
Yes, I use Double B when I want to say boulder-like balls.
But isn't that B-L-B?
Well, the L is silent in this case.
You idiot! An L is never silent, just like you. Try it just this once, imp. Grey Worm, where are you going?
Grey Worm have open mic spot on Lido deck.
Grey Worm, we are going to invade Westeros. This isn't a cruise ship. Seven hells. Sir Jorah, come over here.
Your Grace, I believe I may have just ossified in my final position. I've been turned into a clump of rocks. I'm not sure I can walk over there.
Oh, fine, I'll come.
Sweet merciful gods, yes.
To you. Sir Jorah, are you not even going to bow?
If only I could get my rocks off, Your Grace.
Been dreaming of that, I bet. Never mind. Why have you returned, Sir Jorah?
Khaleesi, I've heard tell of yet another wise, powerful, and amazing good-looking monarch that is gathering forces to take over Westeros. As soon as I heard, at first I ran. And then when I could no longer run, I walked. When I could no longer walk, I finally had my body towed here by various double bees.
Double bees?
Burden beasts. Yes, beasts of burdens to make my way back to warn you, Khaleesi.
Has this supposedly good-looking monarch had a parade of powerless or broken-down old suitors that I have? Has this supposedly wise monarch freed slaves and then waited a really long time to punish the slave masters and thus tacitly encourage rebellion of the rich, as I have? Has this supposedly powerful monarch been barely able to keep it together even with the aid of three frightening and mythical beasts by their side, like me?
No, Khaleesi. All he's done is turned an impressive array of forces from King's Landing with the judicious use of wildfire.
Unimpressive.
He's enforced moral principles throughout both feline and female members of the community.
Boring.
And he destroyed almost all of his enemies by faking his own death and letting them kill each other.
Loser.
He's also harder than I am.
Go on. With what force of double F's, ferocious fighters, double E's, earnest eunuchs, and double B's, broken beasts, has he done this?
With none of them, Khaleesi. Just force of his own will.
Well, how old is this ruler? It took me 3 years to tame two small cities with my forces.
Your Majesty, he's just a few years younger than you.
Well, we shall see about this. We shall march to meet this supposedly impressive leader. What is his name?
King Joffrey, my Grace. first of his name?
First in my heart. Ridiculous. The only good names are names with two vowels right next to each other. Imp, let's go. Are you coming? joining us, Sir Jorah? Sir Jorah, I asked if you're joining us. Damn it, Jorah, you and your stiff upper lip. His lower lip is also quite stiff, Your Grace.
I can no longer move, Khaleesi.
As you wish, Sir Jorah. Imp, find some dynamite and relieve Double D of his worries.
Double D?
Detonated Disciple.
Good one, Your Majesty.
That's how you do it, Imp.
All right, Lido Deck members. Everyone enjoying this 14-month cruise from Marine to Westeros? Yeah, it's great. Hey, let's give a nice round of applause to a guy who's trying out his stand-up routine for the very first time. Give it up for Grey Worm.
Grey Worm, thank you. Thank you. Grey Worm, tell joke. Did you ever notice how bosses never know what employees really think? My boss, she say, it is time to invade Westeros. And Grey Worm say, finally, you have been dragging me around Essos for 6 seasons. Get it? The word dragon sounds much like word dragging. Therefore, Grey Worm is funny. Grey Worm, old boss, Krasnys. Krasnys have no sense of humor. No, he never laugh. Not even after Queen Daenerys brought him to a roast. Get it? Grey Worm joke funny because Krasnys was horribly roasted alive and is now dead. Grey Worm have other jokes. Grey Worm noticed that men and women are different. Lovely woman, Missandei. Very lovely. She not have penis. While Grey Worm... Wait for it. Wait for it. Think about joke. Joke will be funny when you think about it. Grey Worm tell Uncle Tyrion joke. Lord Tyrion tell this joke. Evil Uncle Tyrion once brought a jackass and honeycomb into a brothel. The whoremaster said, get that sticky ass out of here. And the donkey has to go too.
New choice.
The whoremaster say, I've had plenty of guests ask to lick my ass. This is the first time they've asked for the ass to lick me.
New choice.
The whoremaster say, evil Uncle Tyrion, you stupid. You should have brought Rooster, not honey, if you want another cock in your ass. Think about it. Grey Worm joke about Uncle Tyrion. Thank you. Grey Worm will be here all week because it is a boat and Grey Worm cannot swim. Good night.
Wow, Catfish. That, it was like I'm seeing season 7 play out right in front of me.
I mean, I just have to assume that that is actually a real scene. Because what do we have? We have an inkling.
Right.
That Joffrey is going to get together with Daenerys.
Oh, I've had that since I read the first book.
Right. And then we have the return of Jorah and paying off that storyline.
It totally paid off.
And then we have...
Yeah.
You know, at this point, it feels like everything's kind of building to a head. There's a lot of pressure on everything. And what I like is they turned to kind of threw us a curveball here with Grey Worm telling jokes.
Well, they set it up in season 6 where Tyrion, Missandei, and Grey Worm were telling jokes around the mm-hmm, table. Mm-hmm. And so this new career for him taking off, it's a bit like maybe they're trying to hop on Showtime Success with I'm Dying Up Here,
another series
about a stand-up comedian.
Right.
And
well, why not get boobs and swords and blood and also some jokes?
Why not?
I love it. Personally, this makes me more excited for Grey Worm's storyline from here on out. I hope there's more about Grey Worm.
Right. Well, Catfish, this scene was so long. Mm-hmm. On Reddit, that I think we need to hold off because there's a deeper spoiler for a later episode that's also on Reddit.
Okay, great.
That maybe we'll do on next week's podcast.
Oh, I love it. Okay, all right.
Because it is deep in the weeds.
Man, we are very proud to be able to bring you this material.
Many important matters require King's attention.
There's something that the Double L's loyal listeners love even more than the spoiled scenes that we give them.
I can't imagine that there's anything more. I mean, the work that we put into these, doing the voices,
right.
Just so proud.
Right. You know, I literally had to join SAG-AFTRA to be able to do this for our listeners, but I thought it was worth it.
I completely agree. There's nothing like throwing down $2,500 plus to join a union that says that you care about this podcast. Nothing says it like that.
Nothing at all. Now, Catfish, It is time to get to this second season 7 trailer. Let me just ask you real quickly, which did you like the best? Did you like the first one the best, or did you like the second one the best?
Well, I'm going to say I liked the first one the best.
I did too.
Yeah. Because that's the one that I saw.
Now, Catfish, one thing we always like to do, when we break it down frame by frame, which nobody else is brave enough to do, as we mentioned on the last Frame by Frame Breakdown podcast, this was kind of our own insight into so many people online saying they were going to do a frame by frame analysis, but not individually looking at each frame like we do. They were totally kind of looking at shot by shot,
and
composition
first of all,
by composition. We look at frame by frame.
Can we sue them?
This is the land of the free. Of course, we can sue this.
This is a Joffrey podcast copywritten bit. The frame by frame breakdown.
Yeah. And so, Catfish, do we need to go through our customary instructions of how many frames we're going to be looking at today?
We are. Okay. We are going to be doing it.
Let's do.
Now, as far as I know,
yeah, that's a good caveat.
Is 2 minutes and 2 seconds long.
All right, sure.
Okay, so as we all know, a minute has 30 seconds in it. And so...
Wait, a minute has 30 seconds? How do we always mess this up? That's slightly impossible. How can
sorry,
we possibly...
Sorry. Okay, so a minute has 60 seconds in it. So this is 122 seconds.
Right, okay.
Times. Now, the latest claim that you've made is that it's 30 frames a second.
American television. Yes, and we're watching
so that
this
is
off of HBO.
3,666 frames. And we'll be looking at each individual frame. And I know that you've already picked out one that is your favorite.
Well, Catfish, because we always get into such trouble about this.
Yes.
What I did is, now we normally review these off HBO, off my DVR. I tape HBO and then we watch it off the DVR.
Right.
But just
because fancy,
I want to get granular with this.
As we should.
I went to YouTube.
Are you going to subframes?
Yes. I went to YouTube and I downloaded the 720p version of the trailer.
Okay, great. Does that affect how many frames it is?
Well, it gets a bit tricky. Yes. So I took that trailer into Adobe Premiere and then I created a new sequence with the exact same settings. So therefore, if it had the same settings as the clip, as the YouTube trailer, it would have the exact same number of frames.
3,660.
I exported it, but then I cut off YouTube gobbledygook at the end of it.
Okay.
And so we are actually only going to be looking at 2,711. So I cut off some of the nonsense at the end that is in the YouTube trailer.
Are you sure that this doesn't mean that it's more like 24 frames per second, as I'd said before?
We'll be doing the math through this breakdown. So this is trailer two.
Because if, as you're well aware, that...
I've never been aware.
Yeah. Is that if it was 24
frames a second, it'd be
2,928.
Yeah, but where did you get the time length of the trailer from?
Yes, it could have been YouTube.
There you go. All right. So here we go.
Just like in the meaning of life,
right,
every frame is sacred.
It is. So... here we go.
Okay, so I'm a little confused. So you've got your laptop up. I want to paint the picture here. You've got the laptop up and you got the frame by frame, but you also have your TV set to show the HBO version of it.
Right, the one that aired on HBO Friday night. Sure.
So which one are we going to refer to?
Well, we're going to refer to both, but I wanted the laptop up because then we could actually count the actual... we could say which frame we were specifically looking at.
Which frame is your actual favorite frame?
People at home who've exported it by frames will know exactly what frame we're talking about.
All right, so I just want to look at your laptop here. Now, the HBO logo on there from the...
Well, hold on. Let's talk about it. So talk about frame... when I exported it, it's frame one, or as it got titled, frame 0000. So it is the HBO logo in white on a black frame. Now, what does that tell you, Catfish?
That this show is going to be on HBO?
Sure, but because of the darkness, you know, the long night, it's on black, so I think of the long night, and then I see the HBO in white, and I think the White Walkers are coming. So that is frame one.
Maybe it's a warning. The White Walkers are coming from people who pirate it.
Pirate HBO. All right, now let's look at frame two. It's also a black screen and also HBO in white.
Now, what does that make you think of?
Well, HBO in white makes me think of snow. Winter is coming. The title of the trailer is Winter is Here.
But, I mean, what does it make you think of as opposed to the first frame?
Totally like, different stuff. Opinion? Totally different stuff. Right, now, because it's on a black frame, who wears black? The Night's Watch. I'm thinking snow, Night's Watch. Okay, now let's look at the third frame, which is also HBO logo in white on a black frame.
Now, what does that frame make you think of?
Okay, so white, most of the cast is white. I think about how HBO needs some diversity in this Game of Thrones cast. And then the black background in this, it makes me think of death. And so many characters are going to die this season on Game
of Thrones. Okay, wow, great.
Now, the fourth frame.
What's in that one?
It's also HBO in white.
Okay. Now, what does that frame make you think of?
Okay, so white. Uh-huh. Remember, a white raven would show up to announce the changing of the season. So it's like...
Oh, it's like this is season seven.
This is season seven, right. And it's on a black background.
Right.
Which makes me think of the color of the smoke rising from the ashes of the Septa Baylor.
Wow.
All right. And believe it or not, Catfish, it is completely like this. These frames are completely like this until we get to, it looks like frame 9, 10, 15. So it looks like right around, it's right on frame 27 where it begins to blur.
Which is actually 28.
Right. That's exactly right. 28, 29. Oh, and it's really starting to blur.
It's just going away.
At frame 40, you can still kind of see it's HBO, but still very blurry.
That would be like Samuel Tarly without his glasses.
I don't think you can really tell what it is until frame 43, where it is just kind of blob of white. Now, does this make me think of?
Tell me.
The fog. Remember how the fog rolls in when the evil whites attack? And the blurriness makes me think of Beric Dondarrion because he's wearing an eye patch.
Oh, right. That's funny because I was feeling the same thing, but when I got to the next frame, I was thinking...
Frame 41, yeah.
Right.
44,
excuse me. Melisandre's smoke baby.
Yes,
going
totally.
Through the night.
Love it.
Yeah. But then when I got to the next frame, I thought of something completely different.
Oh, no. What was that?
Well,
frame 45, right?
I just thought about taking a nap. Because it was so dark and things were
full of
fuzzy.
Terror.
Yeah.
Now, it's on frame 46, where suddenly you can still see a bit of the HBO blur in the middle of the screen, but we see Sansa Stark.
Oh, yeah.
With the new red-haired wig. Can you tell that's a wig and that this, for the first time ever, actress Sophie Turner didn't dye her hair red? Her commitment to the role is weaker this season, I guess.
I guess they can't do it without her, so she's like, you're going to have to put up with whatever you put up with.
Right. Stick a wig on me. Number one, can you tell that's a wig? Yes or no? If somebody hadn't told me, I have to be honest, I might not have been able to
tell. No, I think men are horrible with wigs.
Yeah, judges.
Because they just don't. Because I had Catfish's mother-in-law one time came to visit, and I said, wow, your hair looks great. And afterwards, Lady Catfish said, my mom was very happy that you said that. And I was like, yeah, it looks great. She's like, you do know it's a wig, right? And
Whoa.
I'm like, no, I don't know it's a wig. I don't think pay attention to that stuff. And now I do a little bit more. If it's really bad, I'll notice it.
I notice it more on other men. Like if a guy's wearing a wig.
If a guy's got a bad rug on.
Tell, goodness. Like Rand Paul. His this morning was really looking rough on Meet the Press. It should have been Don't Meet the Press.
Women do so much cool stuff with their hair all the time that like I'm willing to believe more like that's real hair.
Oh, okay. Now, Sansa Stark, Sophie Turner, maybe she didn't dye her hair red because this is her last season on the show.
What?
Just throwing out an idea. Here she is.
I wonder if you read that on Reddit because Reddit is really focused on red hair.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. It's not called Blondit.
But she's here in what we assume is by the heart tree, the weirwood tree there in Winterfell, which has the face carved into it, which we've seen since the very beginning of the show. And she is walking away from it. And as we just...
Now, I just wondered, do you think that ever the tree got drunk and woke up with a drawing of a penis on its face?
Right.
Like somebody just etched a penis right in next to his face?
You'd be like, these damn dirty northerners.
Yeah.
Now, she keeps walking away. What's interesting is she's a bit dressed in black, Catfish, don't you think? Like, has she started wearing black after she had that meeting and seemingly joined Team Littlefinger way back in the end of season 4. She wore that black outfit.
This reminds me that in this kingdom of Westeros, people haven't quite gotten the idea of how to blend into their environment.
No.
You know, white would make them look less like something edible.
But it, perhaps, Catfish, the idea is that she wants to stand out. She wants the eyes on her because she thinks she should be queen in the North rather than this crazy old bastard brother, Jon Snow.
Right, but I mean, the men at the Wall, they all wear black. It's called, you know, taking the black. And I also think it should be called making yourself a target.
Maybe she gained some weight and she just wants to look thinner. You know, a lot of times I wear black to have that svelte look.
Black is definitely cooler. I'm not going to say that you look good in white, especially after a certain time of year. But again, don't get eaten.
What do you think her expression is, Catfish? Let's watch this on the TV.
She's thoughtful. She's pensive. She looks actually, when you look at it in full motion, she looks a little afraid.
Or I was wondering if she is ashamed of something she did, and we'll get to this in a bit. When you go by this frame by frame, believe it or not, if you get up to frame 367, you begin to see the form of a figure behind her. It's on screen right over her left shoulder, right? And she's kind of looking back at it. And you think to yourself, who is she looking at? Now, maybe there's a later scene in the trailer that will give away who that person is behind her, but you just see it in as her shoulder dips as she's walking, and then it disappears. So I want to know who that person behind her is.
I don't want to beat this too much into the ground.
Sure.
But you know why you can tell there's a person behind her?
Why?
Because they're wearing black in a field of white snow.
Right, on a tree. So you think that's Jon Snow behind her? No, he's kind of quit wearing black. I would have to say that this is a blurry shot. You can't tell anything about it other than she left a person behind at that tree.
So quick potential sighting of Joffrey. I just want to say, when we look at this trailer, let's look for times. I mean, Joffrey, again, like Jesus, can be almost everywhere at any time. Mm-hmm. He may not be, but, you know, as we saw before, he faked his own death so he could get his enemies to fight for him, and then they'd be weak and he could take over. So I'm just going to assume that anytime I see somebody and they're not in clear detail, that's Joffrey pulling the strings.
I like it. It cuts to black, but it's not actual black. It's a shot of the gate there at Castle Black that goes beneath the Wall.
Now, this looks a lot like a shot we saw in the first one, so this is cheating HBO.
Right. Repeating shots, not cool HBO. But then after that, it cuts to a super wide shot north of the Wall. And let's be honest, even though they're very tiny in the screen, what does it look like? It looks like Mira Reed dragging that lazy bastard who's too lazy to walk for himself, Bran Stark, back under the Wall and through the Wall into Westeros proper. What do you think about this, Catfish? Are you happy that Bran, after his journey north of the Wall, will now be headed south?
I am only in that, for me, the only two things that got accomplished by him going up there were things that weren't that big a surprise. One was kind of find out who Jon Snow's mother was.
Yep.
And two, we finally got the explanation for Hodor, but I didn't feel
He also got a dire wolf killed and Jojen Reed killed too. Good work, Bran.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Those are the bad things. This is the only two constructive things. Oh. And as somebody I used to work with used to say, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze.
Oh, no.
In other words, we spent a lot of time up there for very little. Let's get him back here. Let's prop him up on the ground, and so he can. So as he's sitting on the ground, he can look down on Tyrion. And make fun of him.
Now, in this super wide shot, you can see that the gate to the Wall is being opened. So once again, this is Bran going south of the Wall, but Bran has that mark on him. How can he go south of the Wall? Is this going to kill the magical protection that stops the White Walkers from going south? Way to go, Bran.
Just like a Stark, just thinking of himself.
No, yes.
You know, this goes to show that the previously, what we thought was impenetrable Wall, has got a lot of weak spots, places you can get in.
One thing I think that would really help with the cost of the Wall, if it was a solar wall, if we had solar panels up.
That would be great.
Good idea, huh?
I think it's a great idea. Also, quick question though. If you put up a bunch of the wind turbines,
right?
I mean, doesn't that kill two birds with one stone? You get power and also the White Walkers fly into them and get killed?
Right. Well, I think it's a great point because the White Walkers always bring a storm with them. So at least when you're getting attacked, you're generating more power.
Right, exactly. And whoosh!
So we cut to yet another scene, and if you look at this frame by frame, we are currently here on frame 529.
Oh, and who do we see? It's our good old friend Double M.
Double M.
Mopey Moperson.
Jon Snow. And he is there. He's got a what seems like a living wildling behind him, not a reborn undead wildling.
However, once again, I just want to say, not in great focus, could be Joffrey in disguise.
Well, there's a character. Boy, if you look at this on each individual frame, once again here at 529, you can see that the shoulder of somebody on screen right to Jon Snow's left, who's much taller than him, so that narrows it down to everybody on Earth. And then as well, as you forward on these frames, you're going to see that there is yet another person just barely appearing on frame left. This is Jon Snow with a group of people. A lot of people want to predict this is north of the wall because of just how snowy and rugged this terrain looks.
Yeah, mountainous.
But who's to say?
First of all, I'm the one to say that one of those people is Joffrey in disguise.
Okay, you called it first.
You know, Bub, I'm starting to think I like the second trailer better because there's just so much more Joffrey
in it. He could
be
anywhere. Well, if you love trying to find Joffrey, look at the next shot. It's of, we assume, King's Landing because we can see the Red Keep way in the distance. We see the Gold Cloaks, the City Watch. They are bringing people through the city. There are Lannister banners hanging. And it looks a bit like a parade. Look at all these people staring and watching. This would have been filmed in Spain, though, not Dubrovnik. They did film some things in Dubrovnik this off-season, the place which served as King's Landing in seasons 2 through season 5 and season 6, and apparently in season 7, they just barely filmed any there. One thing I have to be honest, and I love Game of Thrones, I've never thought they've ever gotten the Red Keep, that's the name of the castle there, and Castle of the Seven Kingdoms there, on the show to ever look especially great. What do you think of it here in this visual effects shot, Catfish?
It looks pretty good to me, mostly because I'm just looking through the faces in the crowd, and I'm thinking, where in the world is Joffrey Baratheon?
Well, this next shot, Catfish, in the trailer, I think you're going to really love. It is His Grace's mother, Queen Cersei. She looks very stern. She's in a dark room, but it's not so dark that in the bottom left-hand corner, I see a chaos.
You see a chaos?
Yes, well, that's chaos is what Littlefinger and I like to refer to as ladders. So there is a chaos right there in the corner. As Cersei is turning
now,
around to look at someone.
You say chaos. Something. Tell me when I go too far with this, but
sure.
I see Joffrey disguised as a ladder.
You mean as a chaos?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He is an agent of order, actually.
That's a good point.
So where do you think Cersei is? She's in a cave.
It feels like, she's somewhere dark, maybe the black cells where they kept evil traitors like Ned Stark.
Except it seems a lot taller than that. It seems like a real cave area.
Could she be down in the dungeon area? Or could she be in the caverns where the wildfire blew up and said, I just wanted to come see how Lancel's doing?
He's like, wow, I created a lot more real estate down here. It's a lot roomier than it used to be.
We fade up. And boy, they love showing this table. I keep saying that I want this table at my place. In the books, it's known as the
painted
table.
Nowhere to put a cup where it doesn't fall over. However, they spent so much, probably spent a lot of money on the table, so they want to show it.
Yeah, and when Stannis left Dragonstone, they were like, well, we've got to come up with get somebody back to Dragonstone so we can show off this damn table that we built. And
I got to give them credit, though, at least for when they come to the table part, even though they are taking up just a very little time, they're showing us almost absolutely nothing. Nothing. There's no story information there.
Well, we're on frame 730, and it's now, you can see once again, we saw the table, but now we're following, and it's Daenerys. And what do you think about her wig? Now that I feel like we got to talk everything, Cersei was wearing a wig. Now the actress who plays Daenerys is wearing a wig that's all done up in braids. I have to be honest, I went back and watched some previous seasons.
Yeah.
And sometimes this wig that they make Emilia Clarke wear. Yeah, sometimes it is actually pretty rough because she is a natural brunette.
I think
Cersei's a natural brunette.
I think the problem is that even if it was real hair, it'd be difficult because it is such an unnatural white. You know what I mean? It's not blonde. It's like white. So it's hard to make that look real.
Well, let me tell you, my grandparents make it look real all the time, white hair.
Well, yeah, okay. But for a young person, I mean, I'm not sure when this turned into WW Fest.
Double W.
Yeah, wig wondering.
The next scene is of a lovely coast, and we see a couple of boats on this coast. And if you zoom in on the frame, if you zoom in on the frame, I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in this specific shot.
And okay, numbering them 1 to 6 from the left to the right. Give me the highest percentage who you think which one of them is Joffrey.
Oh, boy. Well, he would be the only one who isn't kind of dragging one of the boats. So it looks like there might be a couple of boats there, at least two there. And Joffrey, he's the king. He wouldn't be dragging one. So I'm going to bet all my money on the figure on the far left side.
Right. That kind of feels like he's leading the way, which is the way Joffrey likes to lead, from the front.
Amen. Amen, indeed. So we get to frame, let's look at our counter here. It's 823, and we see evil Arya Stark. She is there. She's got her sword Needle. She's looking kind of rough. Now, you did a film with her, Catfish. Did she always look this rough? Or is this... I mean, no, the character. No, she's a lovely person in real life. I mean, Maisie Williams. I'm just saying, look at her. And a lot of people have said, from this look on her face, is it possible she is seeing Winterfell for the first time since season one? I think that's, I suppose, a possibility in this shot, in the very bottom right-hand corner. You can see some trees that seemingly have leaves on them, so I don't know. But what do you think's happening in the shot of Arya on this horse, Catfish?
She does look a little stunned and dazed. If she looked just a little bit more agog, I guess, I would say she was definitely looking at Joffrey.
Okay.
But maybe she's just thinking of Joffrey, which is why she's not totally stunned, aghast, and just...
Right. Well, her jaw has dropped, but not the full way. That's a good point.
Exactly.
All right, Catfish, this is a very important frame. We get to frame 867. It's over the shoulder of Jaime Lannister. A couple of interesting things about this. We have heard from the Game of Thrones production diary that HBO doesn't like a lens flare. But in this shot, because Jaime is marching and it seems somewhere where a lot of sun, this camera lens is totally being hit with lens flare. And wherever he is marching, there is a dead body down in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. And it looks like he's wearing kind of a gray coat. Yeah, Catfish, what do you think?
I think it's Joffrey pretending to be dead.
To surprise his uncle, or who some people think is his father, Jaime Lannister.
Yeah, exactly. To confront him. You know, a lot of people think that just Joffrey is just heroic and strong and he goes straight into battle, which is true.
Right.
But what a lot of people don't realize is Joffrey has kind of a little bit of a trickier side to him. People think that he's always just upstanding and noble and brave, but he is all those things, but also has a little bit of the trickster in him.
Right. He's a bit Br'er Rabbit for sure.
Yeah. He's everything. When people say, oh, no, Joffrey couldn't do something tricky like that.
Or no.
Joffrey wouldn't, to say that that's not brave enough. You're forgetting Joffrey is playing 7th level dimensional chess, and he uses all the tools in his arsenal.
Love it.
I appreciate people saying that he's just brave and forthright, but they need to understand that there's other parts to him as well.
Sexy parts. Now, one thing would say about this shot of Jaime, is this King's Landing and over the edge of this castle where he's at, that's the ocean, or is this just the sky? Where do you think Jaime Lannister is in this shot? It seems different from King's Landing, just the rocks that make up this boulder and make up this wall of this place. So,
well,
Jaime abandoned?
That leads us to a question. Do we think that Jaime is going to leave King's Landing? It feels like he was so eager to get back, and because they're beset on all sides, it would be surprising for him to leave again.
Yeah, without question. I don't know. He's wearing his battle armor, so he is ready for fighting.
Well, he better be, because Joffrey's about to pop up and smite his ass.
He'd do that to his own relative?
You know, people need to be edumacated.
We have a repeat scene of Littlefinger down against a wall.
Cheating.
Yeah, just peeking. What do you think of this dirty peeper?
The reason why taking a roundabout way to do things, being trickier sometimes, is because people like Baelish, Lord Baelish, Littlefinger, give it a bad name, because that's all Baelish is he's a slimy tricker.
We have another repeat shot of this hand taking the stone down the sword. And so I've been looking at this sword some more.
Yeah, because I know there was some question about it.
Yeah, we were debating whose sword this was. And to be honest, the inlay in the middle of this sword is a bit like Longclaw, a.k.a. the sword that Jon Snow has. But these hands don't look like Jon Snow's. They don't look like they've been killed. I'm still confused as to whose sword this is.
Hmm.
We get to Daenerys all by herself.
She's walking on sunshine. And don't it feel good?
I was going to say, look how there's no one around her. And I was going to say, one is the loneliest number Daenerys will ever do. And so, once again, we would imagine that this is maybe her on Dragonstone, maybe her for the very first time touching Westeros soil since she was an infant, that she, you know, she couldn't remember those times. And so, do you think that's a pretty beach there, Catfish? And I did say beach.
Yes, on both counts. I just don't know how you get down to it.
Lovely.
Do you have to sail up to it?
She's like, Drogon, drop me down there. I want to take it some time. The next shot is, we assume, in Dragonstone. Why? Because there's traitor Uncle Stannis, one of his Flaming Heart banners hanging in Daenerys. This is like redecorating. It cuts to a different angle as Daenerys is looking up at this banner, and you can see entering behind her is evil Uncle Tyrion.
I can barely see him. Now, I know that you have thought maybe a few times that I had assumed that somebody was not the real person, that someone was, Joffrey was pretending to be somebody. This is the one case in which Joffrey would not stoop so low, pun intended, as to impersonate Tyrion.
We get another shot of these three dragons flying around on what feels like the backside of Dragonstone.
Dragon race. Who you put your money on, Bubba?
Ooh,
dragon
tough
race.
Call. Tough call.
Some of them are bigger.
Some are bigger, but maybe bigger will slow you down, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It also depends on when one of them ate.
Right. Don't go flying until 30 minutes after eating human beings, exactly. Dragons. I think this shot of the dragons probably leads into the trailer one shot of the dragons where they fly up by Tyrion. It also feels like this beach here that we're seeing on Dragonstone is the one that Daenerys just walked by in her Walking on Sunshine moment.
It certainly does, and now you can see.
But where are all the boats? Where are Daenerys' boats?
Well, it depends on how deep it is. Maybe she just hitched a ride, said, I need some me time, and just took the dragons.
Evil Uncle Tyrion on the next shot, he appears. They really, you know, he appeared before, but he gets his close-up on frame 1,258. And well, how did anybody ever think Tyrion was a Lannister? His hair is not blonde at all. Give me a break.
Yeah, that is absolutely true.
He's wearing his hand to the queen pin. Tyrion, what a queen, people always say. But he does not look blonde in any way, does he?
No, that's just another way in which he doesn't measure up.
Speaking of somebody who lost his little Tyrion,
hey.
We get to Reek on frame. Let's see. They fade up to him, and you can finally see him about frame 325. And you
1325?
1325. Excuse me. Yeah, thank you.
I want to make this for people who are following frame by frame.
Oh, yeah.
Who've imported this into a program. I don't want to discourage them.
And he still looks like a big wimp, doesn't he?
He certainly does. Once you've lost your manhood, nothing worse can happen, so you might as well just roll with the punches and not be such a wimp.
Well, you are an expert on that, Catfish, so thanks for helping our listeners
true
out
story.
With that. We see Grey Worm, and he's looking at the cave where Voldemort left one of his horcruxes in the Deathly Hallows. Here, Grey Worm appears to be in a boat, and he's looking at this cave. And then he turns back, and he gives a little nod, like, hey, hells yeah.
But maybe, I just want to say, maybe this is him, like he's saying goodbye to somebody because he's going to do his stand-up.
Right. He's like, I got to...
Just remember, we got to incorporate this.
Of course. He thinks he has a great double C.
Double C.
Cave crowd that he's got to go entertain.
Nice. He'll go anywhere.
Try the buffet.
Grey Worm work all crowds.
We also have...
No crowd too small, but always 2-drink minimum.
No crowd too small except Uncle Tyrion. Now we get to, it dissolves, it cuts to black and dissolves back up on Brienne and Pod finally getting back to Winterfell. Don't you think to yourself, Brienne, what great timing. Wasn't there for the Battle of Winterfell when everybody got slaughtered? She just shows up and goes, oh, how'd you guys do in that big battle where you could have used me? Oh, well, here I am. Way to go, Brienne.
Man, I tell you, I wonder if she's experienced pod special skills yet.
Well, you know, it takes a long time. You got to warm up somehow, right? Like, if you were going to warm up, there's only one way you would do it. And that's with the tripod taking care of you.
Boom.
Anything you want to say? Do you like Brienne or Pod? Some people in the books especially get frustrated with Brienne and Pod just wandering around aimlessly in that fourth book, A Feast for Crows.
I loved Brienne and Jaime together. I thought that really brought out both of the characters, things in the characters that were really great. I feel like Brienne's kind of been in a holding pattern since she, as far as personal development, since she broke up with Jaime.
Shameful.
Yeah.
Stand by your man.
Stand over your man.
If it's pop,
tower
for sure.
Him all the time.
There is a nice harsh cut which cuts from Brienne to her battle buddy, the Hound, on 1442. Look at him here in a snowy environ. I know that around where his face got scarred in the burn, that would be very tough, but you still want to wear a hat, don't you? I mean, come on, Hound, what are you doing here?
Yeah, especially because he doesn't have he's missing some fur-covered spots on his head because of the burn. Maybe he's just not a hat guy. Some people aren't hat guys.
No. It may be. But he's also not much of a smiler guy. Look at this growl.
Yeah, he's not a face guy either. He's not really... he's also not a personality guy.
No.
I'm not sure what kind of guy he is, but he's none of those things.
The next shot is in the foreground. We see a unsullied soldier falling to the ground with a arrow right through his chest. Youch. And behind him...
That is quite a penalty for bombing at the comedy club.
And behind him, we see a bunch of other... They almost seem stacked back to back of unsullied shields and people with just so many arrows in them. How many arrows do you have to take before you die? Like... Do you immediately just getting hit with an arrow fall over like that? I guess you do, huh?
It depends. It looks like he got him right through his completely useless armor and right into his heart.
Right. Way to wear that armor, which I'm sure not comfortable. The next shot. I love this shot. I want to go into detail on this shot. People following along at home. We're on frame 1464. We see a cavalry of what we assume are Dothraki attacking a shield wall of Lannister soldiers. And in the background, you can see a line of flames. Holy smokes. Big battle, Catfish. Exciting, huh?
Now, who would you take, Bubba, if it came down to Blood Riders versus shield wall?
Well, I'm going to go back to season one.
Okay, let's do it.
His Grace King Joffrey's father, Robert Baratheon, said you would be a fool to battle the Dothraki in the field and not behind a castle. I mean, when they've got these horses that could ride circles around your shield wall, that's nuts. Or, also probably just as nuts, is not riding circles around somebody's shield wall and just riding your horse right into it.
Yeah,
but that does seem to break
effective.
The shield wall. Do you think that line of fire in the background is because of evil dragons, Catfish?
Ooh, doing a perfectly straight line of fire? I would think it would be more like, let's keep them contained and in front of us.
Maybe this is how you fight wildfires with a controlled burn.
Well, that's also
the Lannister said a controlled burn. So.
Also true. I don't know why I didn't go immediately there.
Now, on frame, and I just love this frame so much. We're up to frame 1476. We're on Double B.
Double B?
Burning boat with a Double B.
Double B?
Big battle. And we see Yara Greyjoy in all her craziness. She jumps with a sword in her hands. That's not safe. Down into the battle.
Her father never told her not to run with scissors.
No, that's crazy. We see a big battle happening on this ship. But what I especially love is if you look down in the bottom frame.
And if you blow it up the way you're doing it now, look very carefully.
If you look down in the bottom frame, she's jumping at a guy with a big funny looking mustache who later on in this trailer seems to be revealed to be Uncle
Tyrion.
Euron. No, Tyrion has a funny kind of goatee or beard, you would call it. I think she's jumping down to attack her Uncle Euron. Look, if you look at this guy, he looks like Uncle Euron, and she's jumping to go kill him.
Are you sure it's not Joffrey disguised as Euron? Let's not rule it out for now.
Never. So she jumps. This says action. How many battles are we going to have in this? And sure enough, this trailer is like a summer movie preview because there's so many fights. We cut from this to what we assume are Lannister archers, Jaime and Bronn on horses behind them, telling them to open up and fire. Are they shooting those Dothraki we saw a second ago dying from arrow shots?
Now, that's the way to do it. If you ask me to be in the military, I would say the shorter you are, the more in back you should be. I would like to be in the very last row of archers. Basically, there's only 10 feet between you and Jaime and Bronn.
Right, and to be behind them if you're Jaime and Bronn, that shows that you got a good position. Let me stand behind the archers.
Absolutely, but that's what I'm saying. But if you weren't brought up rich with a foo-foo lifestyle, the second best place to be is only 10 feet in front of Jaime and Bronn.
For sure. Now, in the distance of this shot, you can see what looks like wagon pulling a bale of hay, probably to feed all the horses. You also see what looks like a carriage.
Latrine. It's a latrine.
A porta-potty.
A long line for the latrine.
And all those soldiers. Look at all those soldiers in the
waiting
distance.
To use a latrine.
Just think, if this show had had this kind of budget and this kind of money back in season one, all the things they could have shown us. In fact, one of the things they might have been able to show us is this incredible neck shot, a flock of ravens or crows. Do you know what the difference between a raven or a crow is, Catfish?
Good PR.
Yeah, I honestly think that is. I don't think there is a difference between what they're called. But we see this flock of ravens, and I think it is tough to tell, but I think they are flying over the army of the undead. Look at that.
Oh, man. And you know, maybe they're expecting some carrion. Although I'll say this.
Yeah.
If you were the kind of animal that sort of feasts on the leavings of other animals, which birds are known to do.
Oh, yeah.
They come and pick the rest when the larger animal is done. It doesn't seem like there's much for the ravens because the dead people just come back. You think they get a few snacks in before they reanimate? Or
maybe they eat them as the dead march. They're like, let me have a nibble on this dead guy's neck.
Right, but then the dead guy's coming right back.
Right.
That's my problem. So the guy wakes back up and he's like, I feel like, what happened to my neck?
I mentioned on Twitter that even though there isn't a great correlation, to me, this feels like the Eagles, I believe they were called in Lord of the Rings. I never read the books, but I saw the movies. You know how the Eagles would always be the Deus Ex Machina, which would come in and save people, and I wonder if these crows are coming in to save some human beings. And it cuts to our good friend, the Night King, looking up. And is it possible he's looking up at these birds and just thinking to himself, oh, great. Here's something else I got to worry about.
I just want to put this out there.
Let's hear
okay?
it.
Okay. If you were to come up with a plan to take over the world and you say, look, people are fighting amongst each other.
Yeah.
Even if I conquer them, even if I fake my own death and I let them fight each other and then I conquer them, there's still going to be a lot of trouble because they're all thinking about themselves. What would be the smartest way to unite everybody is pretend there's an existential threat to the kingdom, to everybody. So what you do is when you're a very young child, like 4 or 5, you start a rumor about White Walkers and you gather people to go up there.
Love it.
And then you fake your own death and then you pretend to be what's called this Night's King and you wear a scary mask. And then it turns out that the Night's King is actually Joffrey in disguise.
Whoa. This is admittedly our second version of the Night's King. We had one guy who was there when he turned the baby, who played the Night King when he turned Craster's baby in season 4. And then the Night King at Hardhome. He was replaced by a different actor.
You mean he was replaced by Jack Gleason?
Oh, that would explain it.
They wanted someone to look more like Jack Gleason, who plays Joffrey.
Love it. We also see a shot of Bran sleeping with his eyes open. Way to go, Bran. Nice to go. We see his teenage acne. Shameful.
And now, who is that standing away from us in camera? It feels like they have a big beard but a bald spot.
Yeah. Is this the person? Because guess what color they're wearing, Kefish? Is this the person that Sansa was walking away from that appeared over Sansa's shoulder at the very first action shot?
Right. Joffrey.
Well, Joffrey wouldn't have a bald spot. That would be an incredible disguise if it was Joffrey.
It's Joffrey.
Are you sure Joffrey isn't disguised as Bran? Well, this also, let's just be honest, this implies Bran is back at Winterfell.
Well,
that's a double W.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Winterfell wheelchair.
Sorry, I had my own joke.
No,
I couldn't feed into yours.
So we did our Double B book bitching segment about Bran a couple of weeks ago. And once again, Bran, how can he help?
I thought it was a quadruple B.
What do you mean?
Book bitching about Bran.
Book bitching
about Bran.
So let's get to what some people, it's not mine, but everybody's favorite shot in this trailer. Starts at 1594.
It's our good old boy BD.
Beric Dondarrion totally lighten up his sword, and it just looks great. He's wearing a mink coat, which is, you know, a fashion faux pas nowadays.
Right, but he's got his trendy eye patch on.
Right, girls like scars. It's just a great shot. Scars. Then we have, and I've said this before actually in these pregame podcasts, I don't think they ever make boats look believable in the Game of Thrones. They have an incredible effects budget, but these boats never, in my opinion, look especially believable.
They do, but it's not like, basically what we're talking about is almost every episode, they're doing a modern remake of Sinbad. And if you watch true. Sinbad, the old Sinbad, I think it was the Harryhausen? Yeah, who did all the for that. That was very fake. I mean, it's the kind of thing where, like, I'm just impressed enough to see it.
Okay.
I can't, I mean, how much bigger budget do you want? They can't have a movie-sized budget for
each
episode.
I want a movie-sized budget. I look at this, and I look at the wide shot of all the ships. They have this beautiful, what is looks like gold kraken on the prow of each ship. But it also looks like they have one ship model, and they just duplicated it for all these times. And the ships, when it cuts around, the ships appear to be, why do I even say appear? The ships are sailing in to Blackwater Bay and King's Landing. Why in the world would either Theon and or Euron sail up to King's Landing where Queen Cersei rules?
Well, I can tell you why Euron would.
Let's hear it.
And I can tell you why Daenerys would. They would do it because Euron hates Yara.
Oh, he does.
And Reek.
He does.
And so they're going to end up opposed to them. And to be opposed to them is you need to take the side of Cersei.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Exactly. And for the same exact reason, although these ships don't look like they're intimidating, they don't have like a warlike posture to them. If it was Daenerys, they could be coming to attack. And maybe they heard about the wildfire shortage.
Hey, we're bringing it in on ships.
Yeah. Fooled me once. Shame on me. Burned me twice. Don't think you have enough wildfire.
Look at all
George Bush said that.
Look at all these extras, Catfish, as it cuts to a shot of Unsullied there. It looks like you can see one little spot in the line of Unsullied where it looks like it's green between them. Are these the arrow fodder Unsullied that are about to get hit?
Oh, it could be, although I think the Unsullied that would be hit would be you do the shield wall, so you got the fire on the side so they can't jump through, although really they should be able to jump through. Maybe they're fire pits. They dig them 6 feet wide and then put the fire in them so they have to go straight at them. And then you'd have the arrow guys shooting at the Dothraki blood riders.
I just love shooting everybody with arrows. My kingdom for a million arrows. Let's do this. We see a shot we've seen before of the attacking
cheating
Unsullied in this courtyard. This one shot does give us a better idea that it's Unsullied opening the doors to let more Unsullied in. This
so that's
is like,
Unsullied on Unsullied crime.
It is. It is. We see Daenerys on a cliff. The one thing about this cliff, overlooking bay of some sort, about Daenerys looking over this cliff, Dragonstone I thought was small, but like everywhere you look on this cliff, which Daenerys is overlooking, you see land. Even in the far distance, you see land.
You're but it still could be pretty small. My question is, how long is she going to mope around on Dragonstone?
Enough. You know, you're like, hey, I took the vacation here. I got to spend all the time I want.
Got it. Hit all the spots.
Right. I paid for the room. I might as well use the balcony. One of my favorite shots, through a war-torn wagons on fire, dead bodies laying in the ground.
Scorched earth.
Scorched earth is exactly right. And we see a Lannister flag within that scorched earth, which has survived, which isn't on fire itself. Is that great? A Lannister flag there. What's also interesting, this is Jaime on a white horse charging. But what's also interesting is through the flames in the upper right-hand corner, you can see two more people on horses. Like, some are coming south, if you will, and Jaime is marching north. And it's like, what has happened here? Obviously, nothing good.
Yeah, and as you can see, even down here, they don't got the right idea of camouflage. Okay, he's got a white horse, but he's nowhere near the north.
No, he's also not wearing a helmet, but it's like he's jousting. What does Jaime think he's doing? And let me throw out a crazy idea if you can't figure out what Jaime thinks he's doing.
I think he's a solo man with a plan. He's just going to go everywhere by himself.
Right, I'm just going to stab something. But okay, what do we know Jaime might have? Jaime, since his grace King Joffrey faked his death, who's using Joffrey's Valyrian steel sword? Would Jaime now have that sword? And if Jaime was about to joust with something, wouldn't you want the sharpest blade you could have, a Valyrian steel sword? And then let me go even crazier. could Valyrian steel pierce a dragon? What if this is a charge by Jaime
at a dragon?
Well, he looks effing PO'd. You'd have to be PO'd to charge a dragon, so I'm just saying.
You'd have to be out of your effing gourd to charge a dragon.
Well, which do you think is crazier? Trying to stab a dragon from a horse with a Valyrian steel sword or having sex with your sister?
I still think it's the dragon. I'm sorry.
We got it.
Listen.
Yeah.
When you try to stab a dragon with a sword, that's hashtag losing. When you have sex with your twin sister, that's hashtag twinning.
We see a shot of a ship getting hit with a fireball. It seems to blow up something on the ship, and we see dead bodies laying around. There's a stairwell. And
none of those is Joffrey.
No. Are you kidding? Of course not. This is just action-packed. This is like a summer blockbuster trailer. We see Tormund about to swing his blade and knock somebody out real good. We get another money shot. Money shot. Look at that shot, Catfish, of a dragon flying over a Dothraki horde charging. I see this and I just think to myself, what a bunch of wimps. They're not going to charge if they don't have a dragon. These Dothraki wimps.
My only concern is this.
Yeah?
The dragons breathe fire. Pretty much you agree that most of what comes out of a dragon is on fire, right?
That's what I've always known it to be.
So what if a dragon is flying above you and it takes a flaming crap on you? I mean, couldn't it be dangerous to be right underneath the dragon?
What if it gets hungry and it's like, God, I've flown all this way. Oh, some horses right here.
Just a little snack. Little snack.
Is that, we have zoomed in on it, Catfish, is that...
You can see a very, very, when you look very close, when you're able to import it the way Bubba did, freeze these frames and blow them up, you can see a very small figure that's on, that shows you how big Drogon has gotten.
That's insane.
It's a very small, you can see it super close over the corner, and it looks like that is Joffrey riding Drogon. Am I wrong?
Write Catfish on Twitter at CJGman67 and let him know. It cuts to everybody's favorite Greyjoy siblings, Yara and Theon, as they are looking up. You see some couple of people behind them. They don't look happy, do they?
They don't, and they also look like...
Yara could really use some moisturizer on her neck.
They're either watching fireworks or something on fire. So this could be they're looking up at their ships being lit on fire.
Oh, man.
Joffrey.
The way it's cut, it makes you think that because we see a fireball. You wouldn't think this is a dragon would spit a fireball, maybe cough up a fireball. But whatever this fireball is, it's coming down and it's hitting their sail, their Greyjoy sail. Not good. If you're on a sailboat, you need the sail. Youch.
However, it's better for you if you're off the boat and watching it rather than on the boat and experiencing it. So at least there's that. They need to look on the bright side.
Oh, well, it's totally bright from all that flyer.
Exactly.
We see a shot of three men crossing a bridge from one boat to another. Love boat battles.
I believe we did get a little bit of boat bridging on the last trailer as well.
Yeah, but this is a better shot of it. Such a big fan. We see another look at the Lannister shield wall.
Bubba, where are we in the frame count?
Well, let's get past the Lannister shield wall as they put their spears up and they're ready to attack. And let's get to frame 1933. Frame 1933.
It was a very good frame.
It was a very good frame. And this is another money shot. What I love about this is when you have this zooming capability, you can see Jon Snow up on this boulder, kind of surrounded by people, and directly behind him, it's hard to see, but directly behind him, you can see it's Tormund there. There it's Tormund with his beard.
Or Joffrey dressed as Tormund.
Man, that would be a really good disguise.
I mean, Joffrey is the Night's King, but he's also able to warp to places and be, you know, he's putting all the pieces in motion. What did I tell you? Seven-dimensional chess.
We see a guy swinging that flaming sword. It's tough to tell if that's Beric or not, swinging the flaming sword, because they've got some sort of hood. There's a chance it might actually be Thoros of Myr swinging that flaming sword, but they are in a battle, you assume, against a lot of the undead. Not good, Jon Snow. Not good in any way. Shot of my girlfriend, Missandei, putting her head up against Grey Worm. That romance, which has captivated no one. And she kisses him. We see Tyrion look around, and ain't nobody going to kiss this guy. Ain't nobody going to kiss evil Uncle Tyrion. Not with that ugly scar face and that non-blonde hair.
No, and amazingly enough,
yeah,
book readers will know that he is actually far more horrific in the books than here.
That can't be.
Essentially lost half his nose.
Can't be. Now, this shot, I was talking about lens flare before. We cut to yet another shot at 1979's frame, where we see that's got to be the Hound, right? It looks just like him.
It does. Also, you can tell because he's not wearing a hat.
Now, let me say, though, if you zoom in wherever this Hound is, Catfish, what does that look like?
Rock wall.
Right there. That looks like a Lannister lion shield. Ooh, behind the Hound, doesn't
way
it?
Way behind him and on the side. I mean, it's so pixelated even with the advanced equipment we are using.
Yeah, but I think, and look, there's no snow around here. So the Hound, we've seen him in one shot, being the frozen north. And here, we see him what looks like in a sunny place. And that is definitely, you're right, it is blurry, but there's a guy in the background holding a Lannister shield.
Well, you know, this can only mean one thing to me, and that is we might get our very expected and hoped for Double B.
Double B.
Brother battle.
Brother battle. The Hound and the Mountain. Oh, man.
Sir Franken.
Gregor. We have Jon Snow and Davos, and they also look like they're in a place with no snow. Why are these guys getting out of the snow?
Well, because, as I said, stupidly, they're like, what we have to do before we fight the White Walkers is we've got to go and kill a bunch of other people who could possibly fight us against the White Walkers so they can agree who's the boss.
Stupid Stark. Stupid Snow. We cut to what are my favorite Scooby-Doo White Walker as he swings his ice blade. And this guy he's fighting, I'm going to call it, I think that's Jon Snow, too. I think that's Jon Snow he's fighting.
Oh,
where he
I was going to say, I think the White Walker is Tormund's twin brother.
He's like, hey, Tormund, how you doing, bro? But he swings, and the guy misses. We have a shot.
How big of a sword do you think that is
Walker's
holding? That is like 5 feet long. I don't even know how you get that thing around. How do you get that through doors?
Well, you're right. You're like, okay, guys, let's go into the cave and get out of this winter.
So here's what's happening in this one is...
All right, so guys,
remember before when I said
at home, right?
They set up the firewall, the fire pit, so they could try to get Dothraki to come straight at them?
Yeah, we're at frame 2020. We see a wall of flame and Dothraki riders riding... This can't be possible. You can't ride a horse through a wall of flame. What's going on here?
You can if you're Dothraki. You just believe. Look, they all took the Tony Robbins course... So they could walk on embers. So I think that's part of that. They put the firewall up to say, okay, we're going to have them come exactly this way. They can't sneak around us to the back.
This is crazy.
But the Dothraki say, me do what me like do.
How could you train a horse to run through a firewall like that? Crazy. Ridiculous.
You got it. What you do is you make them like it.
We have a shot on a beach in a boat and somebody walking away from the boat, walking towards the ocean and just collapsing down like a big wimp. There are so many options for this, but it does look a bit like our boy Reek, don't you think?
Yeah, it's clear that when you collapse like that, I mean, that's a guy without balls.
You don't have balls to help keep you upright. My next shot, we're getting to it. Here it is, my favorite shot in the entire trailer.
Oh, I'm so excited we got
2059. Tell everybody who we're looking at right now.
We're looking at what I like to call Double E.
Double E.
Electrifying Euron.
He is. Look at the anger on his face. Look at that porn stash that I was talking about before. He's got this... That's a battle axe, I guess. And it gives us a great look. I have to be honest, it doesn't make too much sense of how Euron goes from one boat to another. It looks like at the back of his boat, there's a gangplank that drops down, and that's how you can board from one boat to another. But how in the world do you get the back of your boat up against another boat?
Beep, 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 beep.
He just looks PO'd. He's only been in 2 episodes. He hasn't done much.
Maybe that's why he's upset.
He's like, yeah, where's my screen time? In the distance, you can see yet another boat on fire. Dude, this guy, we need another adversary, and he's it. He's totally ready to kill you suckas.
But you know who else is ready to kill somebody?
Uh-oh, who?
Dragons. Okay, now, we don't know exactly how long it takes dragons to age.
Right.
But in this
show... Well, we do. It's 7 seasons.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. In this show, it is 7 seasons. Because these are, as we saw before, when we saw how tiny Joffrey looked riding the dragon. And now we see them... I mean, you could tell these things are just huge.
This dragon is huge. Behind the dragon, we can see the castle of Dragonstone, so it tells us where this is. And if that's Daenerys up on top of this thing, like, how is she going to talk to anybody? This thing's making so much noise, it'd be like, I want to negotiate.
No,
wait, what'd you say?
She hollowed out one of the ears, a hole in it, and uses it as a megaphone. Hello, hello, hello. This is why I think we have kept her, I think George R. R. Martin kept her away from the main plot for so long, and what the show has a challenge with, it's that with three dragons like this, considering there are no dragons left in the world, she just seems exceedingly overpowered compared to the rest of... I mean, essentially, you're talking about a land-based army fighting an air-based army. An air-based army.
Right.
And it just seems impossible. Like, if you can just bomb the crap out of somebody and they can't get you back, I mean, they can shoot fire from... You'd have to have pretty good aim to get the catapult to hit it.
I
assume we're going to lose a dragon or two before it all is said and done. But they make a delicious, delicious appetizer, too. But she just seems overpowered. Do you agree or disagree that the dragons have been built up, and especially how big they are now, that it almost seems ridiculous they couldn't mow through anybody?
Listen, if you have air superiority, you're always going to win. That's just like us in North Korea.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're going to skip the shot of people circling up for a battle in the snow.
Boring.
And go to a different, which we've already seen on the previous trailer, and just go to a scene of Jon Snow. I believe. Now, you can't tell it's Jon Snow, but I think it is. Him on a horse galloping away. There are two things about this. One is, you would assume if it's Jon Snow, he's running away. He's afraid. He's like,
That would be Jon Snow all over, up and down, Jon Snow.
The other couple things I want to say about this is that they have filmed in Iceland, but in Iceland, they don't actually have real horses, so you can't have a real horse here. So this would be filmed on fake snow in Northern Ireland.
Well, you can't even ship them there?
No.
Just for temporary?
No,
just,
you can't ship. No, no, no. You know, giggles? It's like, what do they call it? Agriculture and stuff. You can't bring a...
Oh, they're worried about it. Okay. That makes sense.
Then it cuts to the second shot, which shows this lone rider riding away. Call me crazy.
Crazy.
And I'm sure it won't be this, but it does look like the same patch of fake snow and area where they had the White Walker during season 4 take that baby up to the super far north and convert that baby. You wouldn't possibly have Jon Snow going that far north, would you? Could you? That would be incredible.
Well, we know that Jon Snow is a coward.
Right, so the further away he can get from a battle, the better.
Right, and if he goes around the White Walkers, he's in the safest place you can be. Where's the safest place you can be? Where the White Walkers used to be and are marching away from.
Right. Oh, that is good. He goes, I'll take their castle while they're on the march. What a wimp.
Yeah.
And then the trailer ends. The last footage we see is Jon Snow slashing, we assume, a dead body down. We see some in the distance, that boulder we believe they were standing on before, a whole army of undead. But what's interesting in this final bit of footage we see, Catfish, in my opinion, is that in the distance we see fire. How in the world is there so much fire that far north?
Dragons.
Dragons are warm-blooded. They like warm weather. You don't possibly...
That's why they light a fire wherever they go.
And that's it. The rest is just text. Catfish, we just did it. Trailer 2 entitled Winter is Here for Game of Thrones Season 7. We don't need any more spoilers. We don't need any more trailers, do we?
No, please. No more trailers.
I know, we can't do that again. King now. So, Catfish, it is time to end this podcast, and we've done it all, so I guess it's time to just sign off. We don't have to do anything.
Oh, no, that's not true, Bubba.
Oh, wait, what?
People will cry their little hearts out if we don't present them with what we always do.
What do you mean?
Which is our Joffrey of the Week.
Oh.
Listen, Bubba, no matter where you stand in America or the world is a tricky place these days, and there's a lot to get downhearted about. And so it's our responsibility every week to remind people that there are people in this world that are examples, shining of the examples of humanity, so much so that they remind us of our Lord and King, King Joffrey. So every week, no matter what, no matter how dark things seem to be, we scour the world for people who represent the values of Joffrey, and we present them as our Joffrey of the Week. So, Bubba, Who do you have for your job for this week who will inspire us to greatness?
To be anywhere near like Joffrey. You have to be a fictional. No person can be as great as
this is what you're saying. Okay. All right.
And so I've picked, every week I always pick a fictional person to be my Joffrey of the week. Okay. Every week.
Every week. I've noticed that. Yeah, you've never once picked a real person.
And you should also be blonde and beautiful.
Good point.
Blonde, beautiful, fictional person. So obviously this week there's only one person it can be.
Who's that?
The character Chuck McGill from Better Call Saul.
Oh, wow.
Now, Chuck McGill, I don't want to spoil it anybody who hasn't seen the most recent season of Better Call Saul.
Uh-huh.
But Chuck McGill, true leader, true hero. And what he did, what he's done as a blonde person, is he went to the law firm that was trying to get him to resign.
Mm-hmm.
And he sued him. He said, I created this law firm. I'm going to sue you. And so all his friends at the law firm, they were weak friends. They didn't want to be good friends. And so they said, screw you. You're not our friend anymore. Then his brother, who was a bit of a Tommen, who betrayed him, he's like terrible. And so Chuck McGill, I don't want to spoil it, but like King Joffrey, faked his death to go catch the real usurpers.
Wow, that's
and
amazing.
And so next season on Better Call Saul, Chuck McGill... The usurpers are going down. I love it. I'm excited. Chuck McGill, my Joffrey of the week.
Now, that's a great one. And you're right that really you almost need a fictional character to embody a lot of Joffrey.
Yeah.
But I do feel like, and I'm not running you down at all. All I'm saying is I like to present real people.
What?
Because then it gives our listeners.
Who?
Someone, our double L's.
Oh, yeah. Okay, them.
Our loyal listeners. A chance to aspire to be like this person. So... they don't represent all of Joffrey.
No.
But this week, I'm also selecting someone who's blonde.
Whoa.
And that is Kellyanne Conroy. Now,
well, what about Kellyanne Conway?
Kellyanne Conway. Wait, hold on. Okay. Now, this week, I am picking someone real because I agree with you that it has to be someone fictional to embody more than just one part of Joffrey.
Oh, yeah.
But I like to give our listeners a real person who might just embody one aspect of Joffrey, so it gives them something to strive towards.
Yeah, let's
to make this world a better place.
Sure.
So I picked...
You did?
Another blonde person, Kellyanne Conway.
Whoa.
Right. And so what Kellyanne Conway is doing, like Joffrey, she believes in people self-motivating, and she believes in inspiring people to pick themselves up off their bootstraps and not live on the king's teat.
Man, that's
so
a big teat.
Kellyanne this week said, hey, you know what? We may be cutting Medicare, but nut up and get a job. So, because...
And that's the new healthcare plan that they're rolling out,
that
too.
Basically is the new healthcare plan completely. So, I know we've given a lot to Trump, but we've got to say, he's got some sharp, sharp people working for him who are also blonde, who also have that soft heart that Joffrey does, but really knows how to get out there and motivate people and make them be their best. So, for me... Kellyanne Conway, you got my Joffrey of the Week.
Listeners, go to facebook.com/doublepodcast. That's facebook.com/doublepodcast. And tell us your Joffrey of the Week. Also, tell us how excited you are for season 7 of Game of Thrones. We're 3 weeks away today. I'll probably release this in a couple days. So technically, when you hear this, we're two and a half weeks away.
I love
it. Close. For everybody here on the Joffrey Podcast, my name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitTenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And I am Catfish. You can hit me up at CJGman67 on Twitter. As always, your 67th favorite CJGman. And we will talk to you next week on
the Joffrey of Podcasts.